the most famous person you've ever touched, or the most famous person that has ever reached out and touched you? I have two on my list. One is Vice President Pence. He was from Columbus, Indiana, where we were from. He was coming to the Bartholomew County Fair right before they announced that he was going to be the running mate of Donald Trump. And so I was there anyway because our church had a booth there. And so I stuck around, went out there to where he was, and he was walking around, and I was able to shake his hand. Another person that I was able to touch was Muhammad Ali. We were on a trip, a plane trip, flying out of South Bend, Indiana, and he was on that trip. He'd already had Parkinson's at the time, and so he waited to get off until everybody else got off. Of course, I was sitting behind him, and as everybody got off the plane, there was just this urge to reach up and touch him on the shoulder or touch him on the back. And so when I got up there, everybody else had done it. So I reached out, and I touched Muhammad Ali, maybe the greatest boxer of all time. Those are interesting. I don't want to share those stories very much because they didn't really have a huge impact on my life. But could you imagine if you were walking on this earth when Jesus Christ was on this earth? And if Jesus had seen me limping around with gout and my hand unable to shake people's hands because it was all swollen, and he walked up to me and said, "Do you want to get rid of that gout?" And I said, "Yes, I would love to get rid of my gout." And he reached out and touched my hand and said, "You are healed." How many people do you think I would tell that story to? I'd walk around to everyone telling that story. Yeah, I used to have gout. I came across Jesus. He healed me. And then once I realized that he was actually the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, that would have held so much importance to me every day of my life. Well, Jesus doesn't walk around on this earth today, so we will never be able to physically reach out and touch Jesus, and Jesus won't reach out and touch us. But I believe that this memorial that we partake of every first day of the week is a very intimate memorial where we are coming in contact with God's Son. And it's as if he is reaching out and touching us, letting us know that he loves us and he cares for us. And we are touching him as we partake of the bread and we drink of the cup. And we are getting the benefits that the people got in the first century who actually had physical contact with Jesus. So I want to start with you in Matthew chapter 8, and I want to look at some of the times there in Jesus' life where people touched him, and then we'll look also where he touched other people. And as I started out this week, I was actually going to start looking at some minor characters in the Gospels and how Jesus interacted with minor characters. And you really quickly come to realize that to Jesus, no one was a minor character. And this concept of how Jesus reached out and touched people on a regular basis really stood out to me, and it helped me as I thought about what we are doing today. So Matthew chapter 8, Jesus is just coming off of the mountain, teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And this is probably the most famous time where Jesus touched someone to heal. And we've talked about this recently. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1, he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This was an extreme act of compassion for Jesus to reach out and touch a man with leprosy. No one else would. No one else could without being ceremoniously unclean themselves. When Jesus touched the man, Jesus didn't become unclean. The man became clean. And what a sign of mercy and compassion that Jesus would do this. The next story that Matthew records, I think, is very interesting as it's placed here, because it's a story that shows without a doubt that Jesus didn't have to touch people to heal them. It's when the centurion comes to Jesus and says, "My servant is sick. I need you to heal him." And Jesus says, "I'll come and heal him." He goes, "No, you don't have to come. I'm a man with people under authority, and I know that when I say something, it is done. I know that all you have to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed." And that's what Jesus does. He marvels at the faith. He says the word, illustrating to us that the touch isn't necessary for the healing. It's something extra that Jesus does, I think, to communicate compassion, mercy, and a direct connection between him and people. So the next story that Matthew records takes us back to what is common with Jesus, and that is the physical touch. It's Peter's mother-in-law is home, and she is sick with a fever. And Jesus walks into Peter's house, and in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 8, it says, "So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them." And I'm sure that physical touch, even though it wasn't necessary to heal, it gave her a sense of comfort. It gave Peter a sense of comfort knowing that Jesus cares enough to reach his hand out and touch my mother-in-law's hand, and how it must have comforted Peter's wife as well. And then you go down to Matthew chapter 9. There are two blind men following Jesus, crying out to him, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And they come into the house. These men follow him into the house, and Jesus says, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And verse 28, they answer, "Yes, Lord." Verse 29, it says, "Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows about this, but they spread the word everywhere." Jesus touching these men's eyes, unnecessary to heal them, but necessary to show that he was a merciful, compassionate, and comforting Savior. It's only fitting that when they opened their eyes, the first person that they saw was their Savior. And I imagine they told this story to everyone they came in contact with. "Weren't you blind?" "I was blind, but let me tell you what happened. I came across Jesus, and he touched my eyes. And when he touched my eyes, I could see." What about the transfiguration? A little bit different setting here. But as they go up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, they see something that is totally amazing. They see Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah. And this is like one of those eye-opening moments. You could just imagine Peter and James and John sitting there, and their eyes are like this, and they don't even blink, and they're watching this. And then Peter opens his mouth and says, "Man, it's so good that we're here. We can build a tabernacle, for one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for Jesus. This is great." And all of a sudden, a cloud comes over them, and they hear the voice from heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son, and who I am well pleased, hear him." Well, they fall on their faces, scared to death after hearing the voice of God from heaven. And then when the cloud disappears, Jesus is alone, and he goes over to his disciples. And it says in verse 7 of Matthew 17, "But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid." It's natural for us, when someone else is scared, to reach out and touch them, isn't it? We maybe grab their hand, maybe put our arm around them. You know, when Shelly's having a nightmare in the middle of the night, she screams out, I just gently reach over there and touch her back. It's okay, sweetie, just wake up. None of that stuff. You will keep me awake. It's just this gentle touch, right, that we want. When our kids are scared, they come running into our arms and we hold them close because we know that that touch does something to eliminate fear that words can't do. And so Jesus could have said, don't be afraid. Why are you so scared all the time? He could have rebuked them, but he doesn't. He goes over there in mercy and compassion and touches them and says, it's okay. Don't be afraid. And they told that after he was resurrected. And then in Matthew chapter 20, you have two blind men again sitting on the road this time, and they heard Jesus passing by, and they cried out, have mercy on us, Son of David. And the multitude started warning them, be quiet, hush, be quiet. And they just shout out louder and louder and louder. And in verse 32 of Matthew 20, so Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. There are many other examples in the Bible where Jesus reaches out and touches people and heals them in that way. And it shows to the people that he touches that I love you. I'm compassionate on you. I'm merciful. I want you to be comforted. I want good things for you. And then there are occasions where Jesus allows people to touch him. We talked recently, and this is probably the most famous occasion where someone reaches out and touches Jesus. That's the woman who has the infirmity for 12 years, and she just wants to touch the hem of the garment. That started a trend, if you will. When people realized, hey, all you have to do is touch the hem of his garment, and you will be healed, everyone wanted to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. So I invite you now to turn over to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll see where this happened. And I think this is an amazing story because it's not only that he heals so many people, it's that they ask permission to touch his garment. And so I just find this very fascinating. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 34, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Famous people today don't want you around them, right? They really don't. I can't say that I blame them. They have security guards to keep you away. They don't want you to come close to them. They don't want you to reach out and touch them. That wasn't Jesus. You realize that Jesus would have been a nightmare for the security experts of our day? Because it wasn't that he didn't want them to rope people off. He didn't want their protection. He would say, let everybody come touch me. And as Jesus would walk by, people would reach out just to touch the hem of his garment. What an amazing thing it would have been to walk the streets of Jesus, to be touched by him as he communicates his compassion, his mercy, as he comforts us, as he takes away our fear, or for us to reach out and touch the garment of Jesus, realizing that he's right in there, our touch. He doesn't put barriers between us and himself. And then we come to this memorial. People have set out memorials forever to try to be remembered. And it's interesting that what do people do to monuments now? What do the people in charge do to monuments? They put ropes around them, right? Because the people's natural response, they just want to touch the monument itself as it represents the person. And so, no, you can't touch the monument. It's going to mess the monument up, all right? So they put these ropes around so no one could touch the monument. Just think with me about the brilliance of this monument just for a second. That it is interactive. That each one of us today who partake of this monument are going to put our hands on the figurative body of Jesus and be reminded of the most compassionate and merciful thing he ever did was to offer up that body and to allow that body to be beaten and allow stripes to be left on that body by which we are spiritually healed. We're not looking up at a picture, or we're not seeing a monument from afar. The tray will be passed to each of us, and we will pick up with our hands and touch the figurative body of Jesus. And as we do that, and as we drink the blood of Jesus, we pick that cup up in our hands, we are reminded of his compassion, his mercy, his forgiveness. He eliminates our fear because he is saying to us in that moment, you are forgiven. All of your sins are washed away. You don't have to worry about that anymore. As far as the east is from the west, I have removed your sins. As you touch that bread and you pick up that cup, what a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have. And there are those of us, as we gather every week, who have different fears, whether it's we're afraid of our own standing with him, that this reminds us that we're forgiven, or whether we're worried about our kids and losing them to the devil, or we're worried about the direction of a country, or we're worrying about our health, or we're worrying about our parents as they get older, or we're worrying about what kind of country our kids are going to be raised in, we're worrying about our financial situations, this memorial is a weekly time where Jesus reaches out and he touches us and says, don't worry, you're mine. And if I love you enough to die for you, now that you belong to me, I love you enough to take care of you. I am so thankful that our God is so smart that he is able to come up with a memorial that can last thousands of years and be meaningful to us every single week. What a Savior we have.